Welcome to Opening Stage VGH, the video game history podcast for everyone. I'm your host, Dean Beaver, and I'm once again joined by my lovely wife, Meredith.
Hello.
We have a special guest joining us for today's episode. He's an actor friend of mine up in the Chicagoland area. Please give a warm welcome to Josh Zagorin. Josh,
hello.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you for having me, and it's good to see your faces again.
I know. It's like we just saw each other 2 weeks ago, so it feels kind of like a treat.
Yeah, we reconnected at a wedding for a mutual friend, and we were...
Were you trying to say reconvened and reconnected at the same time?
Reconvected at a wedding.
That's the standard new word right now.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this, Meredith, but it's pretty
popular. I'm going to look it up.
Right now on TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
Hashtag right. Reconvected.
Is it like that Kong Fifi thing that went viral?
It's wholesome and pure and lovely.
I was going to say, I think that's a lot more intellectually advanced than that whole thing was.
Yeah, that's what they call a gaffe, I believe. And I like, man, did you get new meaning on gaffe during that 4 years?
Oh, but
we can't
God,
even
yeah.
use gaffe anymore because gaffe means mistake.
And it's like, how much was mistake?
This wasn't even a mistake. This was it was just a constant disappointment
dumpster
and disaster.
Fire
dumpster fire.
Yeah,
we were at a wedding in Nashville, which I'd never been to, and can't wait to come
love.
Back. Can't wait to come back. Awesome. That is not that's not even oversimplifying it. I'm like, seriously, every time Laura, my girlfriend, and I talk about it, I'm always like, well, whenever you want to go to Nashville, I don't know, what are you doing this weekend? I was like, you have stuff to do. I'm like, yeah, do we? Why do things? That's
nothing
dumb.
That can't be canceled or done in Nashville.
Yeah, just do it again. Just do it again. But yes, I'm happy to see you two again. And here's too many more Zooms until I come back to Nashville.
Yes, please. Josh, we have a few questions that we go over whenever we have a guest on the show. Please give us your life story in the span of a tweet.
Born in Iowa, raised in... Born in Jersey, raised in Iowa, schooled in Boston, lives in Chicago, loves being... asked this question, period.
I did the same thing on my Twitter thing, except I have, or maybe it's my Instagram, except I have those little greater than, less than signs instead of commas.
Ooh. I was going to do underscores and things. Okay, so my life history in one sentence. Actor, writer, voice actor, writer, puppeteer, and all around curious guy.
Awesome.
I've never seen the puppeteering part.
Oh, I have a puppet named Chad that I do on, we don't need to plug right now because I won't fit in the Twitter characters, but I do a character called Chad the Bird that's kind of all over Chicago.
Okay, all right. So there was a period of time where Chad the Bird kept getting suggested to me as a friend, and I was like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, that's me.
I was like, why would I be friends with this thing? And Dean was like, it looks funny, do it. And I'm like, I don't know what it is. I'm not doing it. It's a bird.
Yeah.
This makes so much more sense.
I didn't put the two together.
He just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
It was endorsing
like
it.
I think I actually got a friend request from
you
Chad
did.
Murray.
Oh, well, all of you did. Everyone did.
Okay.
So
when we started doing it.
I was like, Chad Bird?
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's funny because now I'm on TikTok and Chad's got like a following on that. He's got a bigger following than I do. And I get more jobs because of that bird. So look him up just everywhere. I'll give you the link. I don't know if you want to put it in the thing. But yeah, please come see. It's a lot of fun. It's a fun thing to get to do on the side in life to be like, oh yeah, I got this weird little thing. And then every now and then somebody will be like, wait, that's you? And I'm like, yeah, that's me. And they're like, I love it. I'm like, it's fun.
That's kind of awesome.
It's a good time.
Yeah, well, we'll put it in the show notes and we'll definitely give you another chance to plug it at the end of the show. But we
have to get serious now. It's very,
very serious. All the serious stuff.
Next question. What is your personal history with video games? And it's completely fine if it's like...
Not going to fit in Twitter. Okay, good. Because it's long.
Yeah. You're not limited. I grant you this luxury.
Thank you, sir. Let's see. Gosh, back in the day, I mean, we were in Nintendo house. I remember my dad got an Atari.
Dean just did a fist pump.
Yeah. Well, there were two families, right?
Oh,
there
was definitely.
House Sega and House Nintendo. Mm-hmm. And you always knew who the Sega kids were. Just saying.
And that's the thing is, like, since we've had started having guests on the show, I just feel like we've had a long string of Sega people.
Do you feel safe? Do you feel comfortable? Because I'd be nervous. Their parents were never home. They always had like a gun or a switchblade on them. Always wore camo. And I'm not kidding. It's funny when I meet people now and like we'll be talking about something and then we'll talk about like what our first game system was and they'll be like Sega and I'd be like, ah. You were a Sega kid, weren't you?
You're like, so, yeah. Oh, I can see it now.
Yeah, okay, so I know where you're from.
Do you ever do that, like your Zodiac?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. No, so I don't...
You're Sega, aren't you?
We've discussed this, Meredith and I, about how little I believe in Zodiac signs. However, if someone tells me they're a Sega kid, I'm immediately like, oh, mm-hmm.
That answers a lot of questions.
This is not your season right now, is what you're saying. we were Nintendo house when I was a kid, but my dad, like, I mean, we're going far back. Like, my grandparents had a Magnavox Odyssey that I used to mess around with when we'd go to visit them.
I don't even know what that is.
That's like original. We're talking the orig.
Like Pong?
Probably one generation after Pong.
Around that time, yeah.
Right.
Not to get too deep into it, but there's this thing called the Great Video Game Crash of 1983. Mm-hmm. And basically, video games like as a thing had just come out. And when there's a bit hot new thing, there's always a bunch of people who try to imitate it. So there was a gigantic oversaturation of the video game market in America. And parents didn't know. They didn't know what the best thing for their kids was. So basically in 1983, like everybody just stopped having confidence in video games until a little thing called Nintendo came along.
I'm a nerd for this kind of thing. As you know, we talked about this. The Atari kind of crashed and a lot of people blame that on the E.T. game and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Didn't we do an episode on that or did you make me watch an episode on that on something else?
No, we watched a documentary on it.
Was it High Score or no, it was Atari Game Over. Was that the one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, I loved that. That was a solid document. There's another. All right, so High Score is another really good one. Mm-hmm. If you haven't watched it, it's a series.
Yeah, and it's...
I loved it.
I got most of the way through that one. It's narrated by Charles Martinet, mm-hmm. who currently does the voice of Mario, and it has, like, pretty much done the voice of Mario since Mario had a voice.
I think it charts all the way till Doom and Quake is the last episode. Because after that, it's just more improvements on the same thing. So it just talks about, and you know, it doesn't really get into VR because that hasn't happened yet. So my history of video games, to wrap that up, my grandparents had an Odyssey. My dad had an Atari. He used to keep my mother awake at night playing Space Invaders. And then we got a Nintendo when it first came out. Cause I still remember that. Cause he asked me and I was, what, that was 86?
85, actually.
85, right? So yeah. I was 5 when Nintendo first came out. And I remember him going, what do you want to get? Do you want to, because Atari had another machine that was a 26,000.
It might've been 520. Cause yeah. I know the big one was the Atari 2600. And then, and that's the one that everyone thinks of with like the wood paneling on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They tried to make another wood paneling one.
Yeah, it was the Chevrolet station wagon, a video game.
Oh, we had that station wagon.
Yeah, yeah. Hell yeah. So we had that. Nintendo came out. So my dad was like, he was like, if it was on TV, he was like psyched about getting it. He's a tech junkie. So we had Power Glove, Game Boy. We went through the whole
Power Glove.
Oh, so we got the Power Glove. Power Glove sucked. We thought it was broken. We went back and got another Power Glove, still sucked, and we exchanged it for a Game Boy. That's the beginning.
That's probably like the best move you could have made from what I've seen about
Heck
Power
yeah.
Glove.
Oh, it was so bad. It was so bad. So we did
Lucas from that movie.
And I saw The Wizard in theaters, and I still remember seeing that movie in theaters. And I remember the look on my face, even though I can't see my own face, when Super Mario 3 shows up on that thing. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. So then Super Nintendo, and then N64, and then kind of tapered off. but my side. And then I got into PlayStation. I have a PlayStation 4 now, and an Oculus. So I do a little VR here and there. So on my side gig in the world of professional Nintendo, nerd, was PC games, which is one of my favorite things in the world to talk about, or CD-ROM games in that great period.
I played Myst.
Early 90s. Yeah, now we're talking. Yeah. Get into the Cyan and the Sierra games and all that, and the Lucasfilm games. Like, I have such a deep love for spending that time on my dad's work computer playing through Myst and Riven and The Seventh Guest and
My sister and I did Myst together when we were early teens. My sister may have even been preteens, and my mom had like a notebook that she kept like our notes in. And like, I just loved like the noises everything made. Like, it was so, the graphics at the time were like,
super cutting edge
stuff. And like, you'd have that little hand that would move around and it would push a button, it would go. It was just so satisfying.
It's still satisfying. Every now and then I'll go on Twitch and replay, because on Steam I found like a treasure trove of old early 90s games. And it's really weird. Like, I it's one of those things where I hang out with people that don't play video games and they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, let me just get real sexy for a second here and talk about how much I love Roberta Williams.
Oh my God.
How much I love Sierra had two. Well, we just got into it. We just started playing Shivers, which is my favorite next to The Seventh Guest of the puzzle game escape room games. Mm-hmm. And it was a Sierra game, because Sierra got into this weird, there was a weird time when there were horror games. Like, all of a sudden everybody wanted to make a horror game.
Yeah, Phantasmagoria and shit like that.
We're playing that right now on Twitch is where I was going with that. So right now we're doing a playthrough of Phantasmagoria.
Awesome.
But Roberta Williams was working on Phantasmagoria when, and she's the one that runs Sierra. Mm-hmm. And at the time they were trying to make a horror game that was kind of like The Seventh Guest, because everybody wanted to get in on that because that was like next level. And so she made this game called Shivers, which I think is a better game. You're trapped in a museum and you're trying to find, like, everything is, it's a total escape room. Everything is a puzzle.
Awesome.
And some of them are infuriating and some of them are so fun, but you're being hunted by these little demons. And it's still terrifying, because every now and then the screen will pause for a second and you're like, oh, it's loading a video. And then it'll be something that just like shoots out at you really fast and then comes back. And it's so crazy. It's good times. Anyway, so I've been playing video games since I was 5.
Awesome.
I have to say, when I first started playing Myst, because I didn't know anything about video games, like, I'd never played them myself, I thought that it was going to be a video game where something attacked me. So it took like the
first... Well, it feels like that.
The first day I was like, because the music is a little ominous. And I was like really tense. We're going through, like, what's going to jump out? And every time we touch something, I was like really tense. And then I realized like, oh, we're by ourselves in this world. This is fine. And then I was cool.
And that it makes sense that that would be a logical progression into horror games, because you're essentially alone in a room with an omnipotent machine that's controlling the situation. Eventually, some designer is going to be like, this is great, but what if we can scare you? And then it opened the door, and there are so many. Anyway, that's my answer to your question. I played games since I was 5.
Awesome. A few things I want to bounce off of you. We actually do have an episode where we go over Sierra's history.
I will be listening to that on the bus ride to the theater.
Awesome.
Josh is going to see Ghostbusters.
I'm going to see Ghostbusters. Is it good? I don't care. Is it going to be good? I really don't care. I just want to bust some ghosts. Like, I don't know. I've been reading the reviews and I'm like, that's about what I expected. And I'm going to be sitting in the corner and be like, hey, that's from from Game 2 when he's in the thing. Okay, great. Love it. Keep going.
That's how I feel about my fantasy books sometimes. People are like, but they're basically porn. I'm like, well, they're not. There's some smut in there, but I don't care.
Well, I mean, porn is a very specific thing. Because there's food porn too. And there's gamer porn and there's fantasy porn. Like, the best part of Game of Thrones for me is when the Khaleesi's on the dragon for the first time and she's got the golden hair in the sunset. And I was like, that is what I'm here for. I want to see a woman ride a dragon.
I haven't even seen it. And I'm here for that.
Like, fine. Great. Do more of that. I don't care.
I was in a book club where they were like, does she even know how to use the sword? And I'm like, I don't fucking care. It's a fantasy book.
Do you know how to use the sword?
I want to see my heroine kicking ass with her dead best friend's sword. That's what I'm here. That's what I'm
literally what I'm here for. So that's what I'm going in for Ghostbusters porn tonight. I want to see some nods to Zool. I want to see some nods to the old machines. I want to see some ectoplasm. Yep. I want to see an old trap. I want to see the Ecto One. And I'm going to be goofing the entire time.
Egon will make out with somebody.
I'm sure Egon's ghost is going to show up at the end and I'm going to be like, weird. But again, yeah. Ghosts. So, okay, that makes sense. So, I'm in.
2021 Sexiest Man Alive, Paul Rudd will be
Paul
there.
Rudd is in it, and I'm never going to say no to some Paul Rudd experience.
Yeah.
Also, like Chicago Rudd. Local, good friend, Carrie Coon is in it. And she is the main... She's the mother. From what I've pieced together, it's a mother and her kids, and I'm assuming it's Egon's family because Harold Ramis is no longer with us, and that just seems like where this is going. I've been deliberately avoiding reading stuff about it because I don't want it spoiled. Because with Marvel, there are some things that I want spoiled because I'm like, I need to know. Like, I'm not going to wait for this movie because I desperately need to know. Mm-hmm. But with this movie, I'm like, all right. Surprise me. Let's have some fun. I don't care. Let's do it.
I like being surprised.
I do too. I am really happy to tangent for a minute that the Spider-Man No Way Home trailers are clearly like CGI'd and changed, and that's not the movie we're going to see because I got mad at Civil War.
Oh, because of the Hulk thing?
No. Well, no, that was Infinity War, right?
Oh, right.
That didn't make me mad. What made me mad was watching the trailer for Civil War when that came out and Spider-Man was in the trailer. And I remember the whole audience was like, oh, Spider-Man, they lost it. I was like, would it not have been cooler to just like wait and put that in the movie?
Right.
So like, can you imagine your head exploding at that moment where you're like, oh my God.
Instead of being pissed that we were told that we would get like Snickers and there are no Snickers there.
Right.
It's like, wait, you get Snickers in the next movie.
You get Snickers in the next one. And so I'm like, with Marvel movies and me, I'm happy to be tricked. But I will be searching for spoilers. I'm the same way with Star Wars. I'm a spoiler hound. But for this Ghostbusters one, I'm like, well, I don't know if the universe is that important to me. So, okay. Let's just
I can play around a little bit.
I'll wait. I'm not in a hurry. I just want to bust some ghosts.
I hope you didn't have anything actually to talk about, Dean, because...
I'll try and make it fast.
I'm having a great time.
Awesome. So that being said, why don't we go ahead and get into our... topic for today. I hope all of that was exciting because
I'm sure it was. We are a fucking delight.
Because get ready to dial back the excitement. All right, here we go. Home Improvement was an American situational comedy which aired over 8 seasons from September 17th, 1991 through May 25th, 1999.
Wow, it lasted that long?
8 seasons.
Wow.
8 seasons.
That's like as long as Buffy, maybe longer.
Yeah,
Buffy
it
was
7
Buffy
at
was
least.
6 seasons.
Six seasons, right?
Home Improvement went longer than Buffy.
Well, so much happened in the series. People were growing up. Somebody died, I think, at one point.
Really?
It was a whole to do.
Oh, did the neighbor die?
No.
Well, I don't know. Wilson
the actor is dead, but
the actor who played Wilson died.
He was great. And that was filmed in front of a live studio audience, which I know is your favorite thing, Dean. Because I saw one time in the curtain call, Wilson comes out with a fence in front of his face for curtain call.
He does.
Yeah.
So Isn't it Denise Richards? Isn't she in the show? Wasn't she one of the original Tool Girls?
Nope.
Oh, okay. You're going to talk about it. Okay.
Yeah, we'll get there.
We'll get there. Okay.
All right. Based on Tim Allen's stand-up comedy, he stars as Tim Taylor, fumbling family man and host of fictional fix-it show, Tool Time.
Tool Time!
Tim the Tool Man Taylor.
The show consistently appeared in the top 10 of the Nielsen ratings during its run and is credited as launching the television careers of not only Allen, but also Pamela Anderson.
Pamela Anderson, that's who it was.
Who appeared as a Vanna White-esque Tool Time girl before leaving the show during the second season to focus on Baywatch.
That's right. And Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
And JTT.
Yeah, we'll get to JTT.
He got to be like Simba right after that, or maybe within that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The show focuses on the Taylor family as they navigate American life in the suburbs of Detroit.
They were in Detroit.
Okay. Detroit.
The family consists of 5 members. Tim Taylor, portrayed by Tim Allen. Tim is the star of Tool Time, a fictional show sponsored by the fictional Binford line of power tools. Co-hosted by Al Borland.
Borland.
Hey, does that guy Al really know more than you, or is that just an act? It's just an act. It's a damn good one. Actual quotes from the show.
Sam, yep. Sidebar, like, I wanted to watch a few episodes.
My dad loved this show.
I wanted to watch a few episodes of this show to, like, prepare for this, but I couldn't find it. And so, like, I started looking at it. I started, like, looking online to see who streams it. Nobody does.
Interesting.
I mean, I don't think it was...
It was on Fox.
It was on ABC. It was on ABC.
You can find Alf. You can't stream Alf. It's on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh. There's an edited...
That's right, because I showed Dean the asparagus thing.
My mother still sings that song to me.
Asparagus, asparagus. God
damn it. You put it on your table. Oh, yeah. My mom still does that. She'll
what
every
happened
now and
to
then.
Aunt Mabel?
I was
That's
trying
a
to
deep
find-
cut, kids.
It's on a loop. We found one.
Next, we're going to start quoting dinosaurs. And we're never going to get through this episode.
Oh, my God. I remember dinosaurs. Why did these dinosaurs sit around this box until they died?
They did die at the end. That's not a spoiler. Anyway, sorry. Sorry. Do your thing.
You were going to run out and watch dinosaurs after this.
There's one of the heads from dinosaurs of like the father dinosaur is on display at the Chicago Museum of Science and Industry.
Really?
Serious? Josh, you have to go on a field trip.
At least there was.
You have to do some reconnaissance.
I'm on it. I'll do some recon.
Okay.
Just his head?
I'm sure it did not age well either. I'm sure it's just like
it's horrifying. That's the thing is it's half of it. Like half of it has like the head, the skin on it, and the other half is like a look at the animatronics inside.
Oh,
okay, that's kind of cool.
Okay, okay, that's better than the way when you.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna say it's like when you find like old Showbiz pizza.
Josh and I's faces. We were like half the head.
I don't want to see Earl like that. It sounds horrible. Like when you find old like Showbiz pizza, or for the rest of you, Chuck E. Cheese, because it was Showbiz pizza first. But we can talk about that some other time. You find old skins from that. And it's just haunting.
Oh my God.
Quick fun fact, Chuck E. Cheese Pizza was founded by Nolan Bushnell, who used to head up Atari.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Have you ever seen the documentary, The Rock of Fire Explosion? It's on YouTube. You should watch it.
I have not.
It is all about Showbiz Pizza, which Chuck E. Cheese Pizza eventually bought up, but was the original. And fun fact.
Showbiz Pizza.
Yeah, where a kid
can be a kid.
Right. Well, so we're in the Midwest, right? So everywhere else.
How the fuck do I remember
this shit? Because it's legend. It's core memory. But like the animatronic skeletons that were used for Billy Bob and the Showbiz band, The Rock of Fire Explosion, are the skeletons that they use in all Chuck E. Cheese's. So think about that all of the animatronic bands of Chuck E. Cheese's are old skeletons that were repurposed for Chuck E. Cheese.
I feel like I know this or saw this or something.
And to bring it back to something that you, the listener, don't know because we were talking about it before we started recording, Logan Hardware, which is my favorite bar in the city, has an animatronic band called The Biscuits.
That's
and they're
I know.
Little dogs. They use original skeleton animatronic skeletons from Chuck E. Cheese, which are the original ones from Showbiz.
That so is I why I know this.
Touching the yeah, exactly. And then there's the little head jerk where they like lean into it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. We had an awesome childhood.
I feel so much better now because there was a part of me, Josh, that thought I had like sense memory of this or something about these skeletons. I was like, how do I know this? It's somewhere in there. It's because they were at Logan Arcade.
Okay. Logan Arcade.
Whew. All right, Dean. Still here. Sorry, you were having a podcast.
Back to Tim Taylor.
It's all in there. They were commercials for Showbiz during Tool Time.
Yeah. A caricature of the stereotypical American male, Tim loves power tools, cars, and sports, especially Detroit's professional lineup. Sidebar, I spent a lot of time on Wikipedia looking up home improvement, which I don't particularly suggest to anybody, but it did list like two instances of Tim Allen not wearing a Detroit-based professional team.
Mm.
Like,
oh, there's only two?
8 seasons, only 2 episodes where he did not wear...
Was he dressing up for a funeral?
No. No, that's the thing. They were like, this isn't a Michigan college. Also adhering to the stereotype, Tim is cocky, overambitious, accident prone, and a bit of a know-it-all. Tim often confides in his neighbor, Wilson, played by Earl Hindman.
Do you think that that's the reason that they named the volleyball Wilson in Castaway?
That's not Tim Allen. That's Tom Hanks.
No, I know. But like, because like he confides in the volleyball the whole time, like Tom Hanks could totally have watched Home Improvement or his character. Am I going too deep?
I think you are. If memory serves, it's a Wilson volleyball.
Yeah, I know.
It is. Okay. So yeah.
Sorry.
But I enjoyed this. I enjoy this theory that like that was all part of the writing.
Oh my god.
I like the show.
Fantasy books, you guys, so I'm always looking for the connection.
Yeah. No, I mean Wilson's been around for forever. They're like a sports authority kind of deal. They make all kinds of different stuff. But like I like the idea that when they were writing Castaway, that was a moment where they were all like, "Oh, we'll call him Wilson. He's a Home Improvement.
Yeah.
Confidant. You never see his face? That's perfect."
Love yeah.
The Mac is in the other room going, "Oh yeah. Oh, I love it. I'll bring it."
So Tim often confides in his neighbor, Wilson, who offers sage advice from behind a wooden fence.
Heidi Ho neighbor.
Never showing his full face and usually solving the episode's conflict.
And when he comes out for curtain call, he keeps his face behind a fence.
Yep.
That's true.
They did talk about that on the Wikipedia.
I saw it once. I don't remember why. I think we actually watched a special. Like, I don't know. My parents really liked this show when we were kids.
Oh man, all into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally watch it. That guy was in, The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 with Walter Matthau. The guy, unless that was part of the show and I ruined it.
I don't know what that is.
Earl Hindman, who plays Wilson, was in this great movie called The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
Sidebar, speaking of Walter Matthau, there's a Dennis the Menace game based on the movie.
I remember that.
One, they based Walter Matthau's likeness in the, they put him in the game because if Mr. Wilson catches you, then you lose. And it looks fucking terrifying. Second, the game is unbeatable because the developers didn't believe that like anybody would actually play the game. So they made this jump that's impossible to make, like in the very last level.
Oh my God, that's so mean.
Rude.
Anyway, rude. Jill Taylor, played by Patricia Richardson. Jill is the matriarch of the family. She's loving and sophisticated, though not impervious to foibles of her own. By the end of the show, she has returned to college to study psychology. Brad Taylor, played by Zachary Ty Bryan. Popular and athletic, Brad tends to act before thinking, which often leads to trouble. He becomes interested in cars and joins the soccer team, taking the most after Tim out of the three boys. Randy Taylor, played by Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
ATT!
1 year younger than Brad, Randy is the smart one of the three sons. Thomas left the show at the end of the sixth season to focus on academics.
So that's what it was. They replaced him, right?
No.
What did they do? Did he die?
So the show's writers had Randy leave for an environmental study program in Costa Rica.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's right.
And lastly, we have Mark Taylor, played by Taryn Noah Smith. The youngest of the three boys, Mark is often picked on by Brad and Randy. This leads to Mark becoming something of a teenage outcast, dressing primarily in black during the later seasons. Despite being picked on by the two, Mark grows closer with Brad in later seasons, primarily due to Randy's absence.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Development
I remember
of
the episode where like I don't know why, but Randy and Tim bonded. Like they needed to bond for something. They were like at each other's throats or whatever. And like Randy was like, "I'm not like anyone," because Mark is like mom and Brad is like you. And he's like, "No, Brad and I have similar interests. You and I are more alike."
And there was cancer. There was a cancer episode. That's what I'm thinking of. Somebody had cancer on that show.
I don't remember that one.
Not in real life.
Yeah.
On the show.
Was it Wilson?
God, I hope not.
No, I think the actor who played Wilson like eventually died of cancer.
Oh, well, that's not what I was talking about.
But no. Well, the whole thing
about
a
very special episode of Dean.
Well, the whole thing about the
opening
whole thing
stage
about
VGH.
The whole thing about sitcoms is that everything eventually returns to zero.
Yeah.
Like things can go like way out here, But they always come back to like the wife loves the husband.
And that's why people like them, because like, well, because they like stability and they like formula.
Yeah.
That's why I watched Criminal Minds for so long when my life was crazy.
Did not expect this to turn into a Criminal Minds stan podcast.
Then George, what's his name? Kick somebody.
I mean, there was violence, there was mystery, there was blood. Everyone's like, you don't like horror, but you'll watch Criminal Minds. I'm like, I know they're going to get him at the end. I know the first person's going to die. I don't get attached to them because I don't know them. So, we're cool.
That's kind of the whole reason we watched Home Improvement. Someone's going to die, but we got attached to them. Yeah. I swear, Dean, someone died on that show. And I'm going to deep dive. I'm going to watch the whole show to find out what that was, because I have a very distinct memory of someone dying on that
show. Dean, you go ahead. I'll look it up.
No, please. No, we can do a follow-up episode, please. We have opening stage.
Game PGA podcast, right?
Consulting columnist Josh Zagorin on the case.
I will Google later. Right now, I'm going to drink rum. Now, what else can you tell me about this Home Improvement that I've heard so much about?
Development of Home Improvement began as early as April of 1990 under the working title Hammer Time.
What?
A play off of a phrase used in MC Hammer's You Can't Touch This.
You can't do that. Can you do that?
No, and clearly they didn't.
Yeah. When the pilot episode was filmed a year later, the title of the show had already been changed to Home Improvement, while the in-show show was still Hammer Time. The name change took place to better emphasize fixing problems in the family and home life in addition to using power tools.
Makes sense.
Oh my God.
Because a hammer is not a power tool.
Correct.
I'm trying to find what character died, and they keep telling me about the guy who played Wilson's death. And then they said Al died, and I didn't know that Al had died.
Richard Kern. Die?
Yeah, Richard Kern.
Oh, I know that.
At 89.
Like, after,
well, good for him.
After the show.
Call me Duluth, sorry.
After the show ended, like, he began doing a bunch of infomercials.
Oh, I remember that.
Which I feel is like the death of the, like, some people think Dancing with the Stars is the death of the celebrity.
No, it's infomercials.
Yeah.
Moment of silence for all of our, those that we've lost to infomercials. Don Knotts.
Although I heard the ShamWow guy did pretty well.
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
No, he had a meth addiction.
Oh.
did not fare well.
Oh. No. Okay.
And somebody caught him with like a prostitute, and like he bit off somebody, like somebody bit off somebody else's tongue.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, I vaguely remember this.
You catching this camera guy?
Oh my God. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to stop interrupting.
Home Improvement Power Tool Pursuit was developed for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System by Imagineering and published.
Oh, I'm so happy that this is where this is going. I knew this is where this was going. I absolutely had that game.
Oh, fuck that game.
That's terrible.
Oh, yeah. We'll get there. Was developed for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System by Imagineering and published by Absolute Entertainment in November of 1994. The game follows Tim Taylor as he prepares to unveil a new Binford Power Tool line on a special broadcast of Tool Time. However, just before the broadcast begins, Tim notices that all of the new power tools have been stolen, replaced with a note telling him to come. The game came with no instruction manual, but instead a flyer that looks like an instruction manual with a sticker covering any useful information.
Wow.
Real men don't need instructions.
That's right. My God.
I absolutely remember that. Oh my God.
So,
wow. I haven't thought about that game in 20 years, 30 years. Jesus.
So sorry to bring this pain back upon you.
So gender,
it was not a
aside,
good game.
No, it was.
You did. Okay. We'll get to it. I don't want to interrupt. Yeah. I'm sorry. Very excited.
So we're all actors here. we're gonna do a little bit of script reading here.
Oh goodness.
Give me a second.
Oh no.
I typed up the intro and epilogue to these games. And
who do I get to play?
We're gonna read them. I wanted to make things easier for you, but you do get a little bit of fun thing in the epilogue, Meredith.
Okay.
Just give me a second. All right.
Ooh.
Josh, you are going to play Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Yes.
I will be Al, and Meredith, you're going to read the stage directions. You will be the audience and Brad.
Okay. All right. No. So I'll just start with scene one intro. The scene begins on the set of a special broadcast of Tool Time.
Al, today is a very special day here at Tool Time. Binford Tool Company is honoring their favorite TV personality.
Well, thank you, Tim. I appreciate Binford's support.
Not you. Oh, Prince of Plaid. It's me, Tim, the Tool Man, Taylor.
And how will they be honoring you, oh, master of mistakes?
By adding my name to a new line of ultra power tools.
Everyone knows that real craftsmen don't need more power, Tim.
Al, don't give me that new age philosophy. The modern man wants the same thing he did in the Stone Age. And what is that, audience? More power!
Hooting and cheering.
Ah, yes! The lilting sounds of the catchy Binford jingle. It's time to reveal the new Binford Taylor Turbo Power Tool line!
Tim runs off stage, then immediately back on.
Al! The tool case is empty! Call security! Call the police! Call the National Guard!
Now, Tim, calm down. The tools were probably misplaced, that's all.
Sure, Al. It's okay for you to be calm. The tools don't have your name on them. Look, I found this note backstage. If you ever want to see your precious tools again, go back to the Stone Age where you belong. Okay, Al, the joke's over. Where are the tools?
Tim, honest, I don't know where... I did not take your tools. I wonder what the note means. Stone Age, huh? You know, we might try looking right here on the lot. They're filming Dinosaur Safari on Soundstage 3. Might be a good place to start.
Tim races off to begin his perilous journey.
Because there were dinosaurs in this game. And I remember that specifically.
Yeah.
You fight a T-Rex at one point.
This is so ridiculous.
I love that the network execs are sitting down with like Absolute Entertainment. And they're like, okay, we need to make a Tool Time game. And they're like, oh, you could do all kinds of stuff. It could be like, you know, like a Mario Party where you have a bunch of like things you can do, like cut wood, blah, blah, blah. They're like, no. Dinosaurs.
No, Tim is going to have a nail gun and it's going to shoot nails into pterodactyls and robots.
Because a nail gun would totally take down a T-Rex.
All right. You don't know. When's the last time you fought a pterodactyl? You know, they might have a weak spot.
That's a valid point.
I'm sure they do, but you'd have to be pretty good.
It's not a valid point at all. A nail, there's just no way.
You'd have to be really good with a nail gun.
Mighty sky lizard birds. There's just no way.
You'd have to hit it right in the eye.
Okay. Oh. This is an epilogue. Right, this is the end of the game, so spoiler alert, everybody.
Final scene. Before
we get into this, I do want to point out there are other scenes.
I was ready to go.
There are other scenes in between the different worlds that you go to where they come back on stage and talk about the new power tools that they recovered from the previous level.
Gosh.
I've thankfully taken those out.
Thank you.
So I set that up to just know that when you loudly exclaim the name of this tool, which is basically just a giant bulldozer, that's why you are yelling the name of this. That's another thing. All of the text in this game was all caps. So
so it seems like everyone's yelling all the time.
Yeah. And
it's such a boomer game. caps all the time.
That's legit.
And I took that out. I did leave the punctuation as it was, though.
Thinking, there's a lot of exclamation points.
That's what Josh sounds like he does.
Yeah, there's some. There's like two at the end of everything I say so far.
So I didn't.
Also,
want
Tim Allen can't talk below a scream.
So I didn't want all of us yelling for all of this. So
appreciate that,
Meredith. Right. Whenever you're ready.
Wait, who's Brad?
Me.
Okay.
Tim enters after his journey triumphant. He high fives everyone else on set.
Whew, that was a tough one. The Turbo DeForester.
Gee, great work, Dad. I want to be just like you when I grow up.
Really, Brad? That's about the nicest thing a dad can hear from his son.
Yeah, right, Dad. Psych.
Oh, man, the 90s.
So hurts.
God, for you kids who don't know, we used to do that to each other. We'd be like, psych. Here, have a thing. Psych. And then we'd take it away.
High five. Psych.
Psych.
Oh, God, it was so bad.
Ugh. Ugh. We're paying for our mistakes.
Really, I just wanted to trick Meredith into doing a psych joke. That's the entire reason I wrote this episode. Anyway,
it's your line.
Brad must get his sense of humor from you, Tim.
Wait a minute. Look at this note. I don't believe it. Good work, Dad. We knew you could do it.
Psych. That was great, boys.
Wow. You guys are pretty clever. Must take after your old man. Well, the most important thing is that the tools are all returned safe and sound. So let's launch the new Binford Taylor turbo-powered tool line.
Gosh, I'm sorry, Tim, but we're out of time. I've been trying to help you introduce the new tools during the show, but somebody wouldn't let me.
Humph. Well, we'll see you next time on Tool Time.
Everyone waves goodbye as the audience cheers.
Oh, well, God, I never got to see the end of that game.
I like how it actually says humph.
Humph.
H-U-M-P-H.
Humph. Look, there's so much joy happening over here because, like, that game was gotten as a gag gift for me by my parents because they were like, we love it. Like, they thought this would be cute. And then my sister and I would, because when we go to visit my grandparents, we would take the Super Nintendo with us so that when we got to my grandparents, we could put it in the bedroom that we stayed at. And we would play like Dr. Mario and Yoshi's Cookie and all that kind of stuff just to kill time while they did
Yoshi's
stuff.
Yoshi's Cookie.
Yeah. Oh, there's a reason why my sister and I still have like, we trust each other just enough, but it comes from Yoshi's Cookie. we still talk about it, but yeah, definitely got that game as just like a this might be fun, and we were like, this sucks.
Is your sister older or younger?
Younger, 3 years younger.
Okay.
We've talked about this a little bit on the podcast before, but video investment in a specific video game was very controversial back in the early 90s. Because even then, in the early 90s, these games were retailing for $50, $60.
Oh, yeah. It's wild because I'll go on Steam every time a new game will come out, and it's still, about $50, $60. I'm like, that seems to be like the actual retail price of video games. Like, new games, like, $50, $60.
What goes into it? So my parents used to actually brag to their friends that we were not into video games so they could save money. Because we liked books, I guess. But anyway.
because we valued learning.
I mean, I don't know how much I learned from the Black Stallion, but I guess I learned the value of
hair care.
And you
learned hair care. We all learned hair care from the Black Stallion. We're like,
I don't think so. I think his hair was pretty wild. He was an Arabian. Anyway.
I mean, that's what I was saying. Like, I definitely used hair and mane when I had long hair.
My sister used hair and mane.
Gotta be true. That's what I used.
It was mane and tail.
Mane and tail. That's what it was. You're right.
Like, I don't know what frick. That had to be some kind of crazy advertising. For you kids listening, there was a period of time in the 90s where this horse shampoo, everyone was like, if you use this mane and tail horse shampoo, your hair is going to look like a pony's.
It's
and
real. Like- no lie. Absolutely had long ass hair and would use mane and tail because it was just like, well, I want to look like a rock star Viking with dark. Because I had dark. I'm Jewish. I'm Russian. I'm Italian. I have black hair and it's coarse. And so I saw that and I was like,
I want that pony.
Yeah, I want to have the flowy hair. I want to look like I know how to climb a building.
Rose.
I wanted to look like Axl Rose. There it is.
And just want to be Bryan Adams.
In the cold November rain. Anyway, but like let's be real. When you're a teenager, your hair is going to be pretty much fine.
Oh yeah.
No matter what you put in it.
So everyone's buying mane and tail. Like, I have hair like a My Little Pony.
See, meanwhile, you got me over here who's like every pasty white shitty European country mixed together.
Hey, don't offend the European audience.
All right.
Some guy in Austria listening right now going, okay, I guess fuck you then. And unsubscribe.
Right. Right? No. How am I going to show up? my hair's...
He did a little thing where he pulled his bangs forward just to show us how bad his hair was. But it was I don't know what we're going to do with this.
But I was a shitty anime nerd in high school. And I went through this phase where I just bleached my bangs.
Didn't you do that?
Oh, because... Dean, we're not that far apart in age. We've all been through that phase where we bleached our bangs.
I didn't go through that phase.
That's because you weren't a shitty anime nerd.
Yeah.
I liked Voltron.
That's not shitty anime.
It's good anime.
That's perfectly decent anime.
That being said, G Gundam is the greatest show ever made.
No, No.
Oh, object. Cool. A G Gundam argument. I can't wait.
Object. Oh my God. It's so stupid. Dean and I had this thing. I don't know if we have time for this. You can cut it out if we don't. But Dean and I had this thing when we first started marriage. I don't know if it was marriage.
No, we started doing it while we were dating.
Okay. So we started doing this thing while we were dating, and we would pick a series. And each of us got to pick the series, and we had to watch the full thing. I introduced Dean to Buffy, to Deadwood. Everwood maybe have been questionable. But anyway, Dean.
I mean, I love Ian McShane cursing under his breath as much as the next person.
So Dean's wins were Trigun. And I picked Darker Than Black for both of us. I loved Trigun.
Interesting. Okay.
And
I
want to watch Darker Than Black again, actually. And a Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Which I still kind of miss.
Okay. Well, I mean, sometimes. Yeah. New FMA is always going to pop up if we're getting into this.
Then Dean decides we're going to do this Gundam movie. And I was like, I can't do this. Like, this is when it broke down, because I was like, we'd be at the end of the night. He's like, what do you want to do tonight? And I'm like, I don't know, maybe we get a pizza, listen to music. And he's like, we could watch another G Gundam. And I'm like, do we have to? And he's like, it's only like 30 minutes long. And I'm like, I don't care,
it's long enough.
I hated it so hardcore. And there were parts of it that were so bad, they were funny, but it was not enough. Like, I was just like, what am I doing with these seconds of my life? Like, I am going to die someday, and this is what I'm doing. And this is, I am a person who will watch Bob Ross paint. Like, I will.
That's for personal growth and health. Thank you.
Right. And mental All health right. and awareness. Have you seen?
Yeah, that's like hydrating.
You should watch the documentary.
I did. Did you? Intense. I was very sad.
And sad. But I have to tell everyone out there, because I had friends who didn't know, because they're scared to watch it. Bob Ross is a good man.
Oh, yeah. In the end, Bob Ross is a good man. It's validated and noted. The other guys, on the other hand,
everyone else,
can eat shit and die.
We all need to
I see you on the street.
We can attack them.
I feel like it's legal for me to just punt you.
Yep. Agreed. All right. Sorry, anyway, Dean.
How dare you is my thing.
That being said, we should get back into Tim the Tool Man Taylor.
What's there more?
There's not much more.
Because we want to talk about Bob Ross and his legacy.
How could there be more? This is all 90s. So far, we have stayed within the framework of the period we're talking about.
Great job.
We haven't brought up Blockbuster video.
All of this is gold.
I can bring up a Blockbuster.
Okay. So what else could there possibly be for this silly game that existed?
Tim battles through four worlds. Each
God, there were only four? It felt like there were like 100.
Each with four unique levels.
Oh, there were four levels within four worlds, so basically 16.
So there were four dinosaur levels. There were four robot levels. We'll get there. Armed with his trusty Binford power tools, including a nail gun, a blowtorch, and a jackhammer.
Okay.
He'll need them to battle the dinosaurs, acid-spewing mummies.
What?
Robots and other enemies standing in his path.
I remember the mummies.
And I definitely remember the dinosaurs.
What the fuck? Mummies?
Oh, it's insane. Like, it's insane.
What? I gotta ask, from a canon standpoint, how are mummies spewing acid, and how does a jackhammer or a nail gun or a blowtorch defend against that?
I mean, it was all pretty cut and dry when you played the game. It all, you know, locks in early on.
Yeah, the blowtorch was really more airtight, like a flamethrower.
Yeah. I remember being disappointed. Because the conceit is that you're on sound stages.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was like, but why did you do that? Why not make him get like portals to other worlds at this point? Like that would have been cooler if it was just like somebody's an interdimensional.
What soundstage has an acid spewing?
Exactly.
Moment?
I was like, well, because I remember being a kid going like, well, if we've gone this far, why wasn't it just like aliens stole your tools? So you got to go through an interdimensional portal and fight dinosaurs. I'm all in. That sounds amazing.
It's a video game.
I mean, I again, bonkers, but like not bonkers enough. And that's what made it sad.
It's like they kept one line and it was the wrong line.
There's a guy in the background going,
the wrong boundary, dude.
No, just make it interdimensional multiverse, man. And they're just like, hey, Gary, shut the hell up, huh? He's like, I don't know. I just think the kids are digging more, but okay, sound stages. You know, you got to ground it. Love your dinosaurs doing on the sound stage, man.
Should have listened to Gary.
Should have listened to Gary. Always listen to Gary.
When the player loses all lives, Tim is cheered on by his three sons.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, the game over screen has like Tim swaying like he's just been hit by something very hard. And his the three sons come on and like...
Wait, like, they slap their faces?
No, they slap his face. They wake him up.
Yeah.
Oh.
They're like, you can do it, Dad. And he like runs off and he's back fighting dinosaurs.
Oh my God. This is awful.
It's bad. It's bad.
Jill's not in this at all.
No.
No.
They couldn't justify that.
Would you want to be though, if you were Jill?
No, yeah. She would come on and be like, this is ridiculous. We're going home.
She would cut the game. Be like, we're done. We're done. We're doing homework now.
Critical
Tim,
reception.
We'll get new tools.
Critical reception to Power Tool Pursuit was mixed.
Mixed?
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 Largely due to the flimsy premise of the game itself.
Well, I mean.
Which pits Tim Allen against fantastic beasts.
That aren't fantastic beasts. They're, for all intents and purposes, animatronics and special effects because we're on sound stages. If he was actually pitted against a Harry Potter-esque interdimensional world, I mean, I'd have a lot of great things to say about this game.
Oh, like note to Nintendo, because I know Nintendo's listening. Revamp it.
Bring it back. Oh, I would play. I would play a remastered version of a home improvement game.
Maybe
Nintendo, please add Tim Taylor to Super Smash Brothers Ultimate.
Oh my God. What would you do if that happened? If it was Tim the Two Man Taylor from the Home Improvement game and Wayne and Garth from the Wayne's World Super Nintendo game with the big heads and the tiny bodies.
Oh, they should just have a 90s.
And Earthworm Jim. Bring back Earthworm Jim.
They should have an 80s, 90s Smash Brothers mashup of all the 80s, 90s games. They could have the ET guy. They could have like Tim the Two Man Taylor. They could have the Wayne's World people. They could have Pac-Man.
Yeah,
we're saying all of this, but like actually yesterday Warner Brothers Interactive actually announced a free-to-play Super Smash Brothers ripoff where you can play as like Batman and Bugs Bunny.
With the Warnerverse. I saw that.
And Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Okay. Good to know Space Jam Infinite or whatever the hell that was called was good for something.
Scooby-Doo, yeah.
Where are you?
Scooby-Doo,
are ya?
Critical reception to Power Tool Pursuit was mixed largely due to the flimsy premise of the game itself, which pits Tim Allen against fantastic beasts.
Which we've established are not fantastic beasts.
GamePro magazine stated that the game played well, was easy to pick up, and would be fun for side-scrolling fans and fans of the TV show, but not challenging enough for hardcore players.
No, it wasn't.
Nintendo Power, however, was less favorable, stating that the game missed the humor of the show and, quote, gameplay never rises above standard jumping, shooting, and collecting items. End quote.
What year? Wait. Dean, what year was this?
It was 1994.
Can you give me 2 minutes?
Yes.
One sec.
Okay, what do we got?
Okay. I tried. So I have... Oh, I was really hoping I would. Dang it. So I have a trove of Nintendo Power magazines in my apartment.
Oh, shit.
And I was looking through my stack because I have the first two editions all the way up to volume 58, and there's missing in between here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But 58 was around 1994, and I was kind of hoping it would be in here, and it's not.
Oh,
so it must not have come out yet.
That would have been cool.
But yeah, I have stacks of these. So every time my parents move, I'm always like, just make sure you don't lose my Nintendo powers. They're like, why? I'm like, because they're the best bathroom readers in the world. Like it's just a deep, deep dive.
So really quick segue of parents moving in magazines. My mom had Wonder Woman 1.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And my mom, she was in college and her mom sold all of them all of her comic books at a garage sale.
Ouch.
She has told Dean that story 3 times.
Ugh. At least.
It still hurts.
I remember hearing it. We should probably do an episode on Nintendo Power Magazine. 2, I remember there's one issue, and I don't remember one, but they offer a contest.
You don't remember which.
Or I don't remember which one, but there's one issue where they advertise a contest where you can meet DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Who is this Jazzy Jeff when he's at home?
This would have been around 90
something.
190, something like that. Yeah, because I definitely remember that. Oh, speaking of, not DJ Jazzy Jeff, this won't be fun for you at home who's listening because it's a visual thing.
But well, I can describe what I'm seeing. I see Josh looking at a thing.
Right here. This is a really weird deep cut. So in the old Nintendo Powers, they would do pack watches.
Pack watch.
Which was like the future games that are coming out.
Into the games
right?
of the future. Cool
look what was
spot.
Coming out.
It looks
look
so
what was
90s.
Coming
and
out
like a
from
little, like,
Storm Media in December that year.
There's a dude in the pee.
Lawnmower Man!
Wow. Why is Lawnmower Man exciting?
Right. Who knows? Because it was the beginning of VR. They brought us into the world of VR.
Okay, so that could have made people mow lawns, like I could use one. So that
we don't have enough time to explain the lawnmower man.
I was gonna say, I'm really sorry to cut this off, but we're running a little short on time. So we gotta
sorry
go.
Everyone.
We gotta keep going.
Josh has Ghostbusters to bust.
I do. I have to bust some guests.
So Nintendo Power didn't like the game. PC Magazine placed the game in second place on its weirdest video game adaptations ever made.
They are not incorrect.
Unrelated, but still interesting. Someone created a modification patch for id Software's Doom, which replaces all textures with Tim Allen's headshot and all sounds with his signature confused grunt.
Oh, if you don't think that I haven't seen that, you're crazy.
Because you're pretty good
horrible.
At the signature grunt.
It is horrible to behold.
By the way, do you think, like I thought his grunts were just like, rawr, 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 like dude noises? They're pig noises.
Pig and like gorilla noises.
Yeah.
It's awful.
In researching this, I did find on YouTube a supercut of every grunt from Home Improvement.
No.
I couldn't get a minute into it. And
it's hard.
14 and a half minutes long.
Here's the thing. Ugh. His stand-up, though, Men Are Pigs, is a pretty solid glimpse into like late 80s, early 90s stand-up. It's funny. I mean, he's very aware of what he's doing.
Yeah.
It's a bummer that he became such a weird like righty kind of.
I was about to say, isn't he like kind of conservative?
Yeah, he doubled down.
Okay.
Oh, bummer.
Which is a bummer because
he was aware of himself early on.
Yeah, it was his comedy was very self-aware.
He made money. Right. He wanted all of his money to stay all of his money. Oh, that's so sad.
It's a bummer because like I have a soft spot for Tim Allen. I mean, he's Buzz Lightyear. Yeah. But I have a soft spot for him because like he was aware of the misogyny he was making fun of at the time. Because like if you listen to his early stuff, it's like you know exactly what you're doing. And the joke is that this is that everybody that like society's cool with this. Mm-hmm. And so he's kidding about that. But then he doubled down on it and it's just kind of a bummer because you're like,
so
Tim
he like
Allen.
Went backwards. That's a little sad.
Like Joe Rogan, they went backwards.
Oh, that's shit.
Like that kind of shows like what can happen when society itself fucking goes backwards.
It's true.
It's like, oh, it doesn't matter like who's in charge and what they. Yes, it does.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Absolutely.
It does. It's setting an example for someone out there.
On that note.
But anyway.
Sorry, I didn't need to get like deep into it, but.
No, get deep into it. It's Tim Allen, man. He deserves everything we say about
it. I agree.
On that note, I'm not a supporter of Tim Allen, but I am going to cut it off here. That being said, we're going to go ahead and start wrapping things up. First off, that's the story of Home Improvement, Power Tool Pursuit.
Terrible game.
God. Tell me that's on Steam.
It's not.
I'm going to get that on. It's not? I can't even get that on PS Network? I'm going to find it, Dean.
I'm not
Maybe
saying
that
you...
Maybe your sister has it.
But Josh, thank you so much for joining us
today. Oh, thank you for having me. What a trip.
Is there anything that you'd like to plug?
Listen to my podcast, which I'm going to have Dean and Meredith on soon. We're going to do like a Nintendo episode or a Sega episode. I don't know. I haven't figured out what it's going to be, but it's going to be a video game episode.
Talk about
Chad
politics.
The Birdcast. It'll end up there anyway.
Yeah.
Chad the Birdcast. You can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. And if you go to any social media, TikTok, Instagram, whatever, look up Chad the Bird, you'll find out what we're doing because it's wild. And every now and then we play on Twitch and we're working our way through Phantasmagoria. So just look at that link below and click it and join the fun. It's been a ride.
I'll take a look at that. Thanks for the heads up on that. Meredith, do you have anything that you'd like to plug?
I'm still blogging every Friday at meredithraylyons.com/faster. That is Ray with an E because I'm a girl and that's how they spell it when you're a female.
Enough about gender roles.
Yeah, we can't go down that wormhole right now. But yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. Other things to come.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much for coming on the show, Josh and Meredith. This is Opening Stage VGH, the Video Game History Podcast for everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Have a good one. Bye.